Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see a Jew.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offering, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back in unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead. Download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With, an audio interview series presented by WFPK Independent Louisville, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Where are you listening from? YouTube, maybe. Go ahead and hit the subscribe button over there to keep up with these interviews. Or if you're checking out the podcast, also consider giving it a rating, leaving a review. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest is the band Lump. You know this as the collaboration between Laura Marling and Mike Lindsay. Talking with Mike here about how the whole project came together, how Neil Young had a little bit to do with the two finding each other, the musical concept that ties the entire debut album together, and we'll get an update on his other band, Tongue, their new music, and the year that lies ahead for them as well. It's Kyle Meredith with Lump.
Hey, Kyle.
Hi, how are you? Hey,
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I've been so enjoying this Lump project so far, which has been the great out-of-nowhere thing for us. I know you all have been sitting on it for like a year now or whatever. But I'd love to hear the story of how this happened between you and Laura Marling meeting and creating this beautiful music.
Yeah, well, we have sort of been sitting on it for about coming up for 2 years, actually, because I met Laura properly. We've come across each other over the past decade in sort of various festivals and things, but never really spoken. But a friend of mine, Simon Ribchester, is playing in her band. So I kind of asked him for a ticket to see Laura Marling support Neil Young at the O2, which was pretty badass. And he got me a ticket and then said there was a little party happening afterwards in the bowling alley. So that was my chance to say hello to Laura and ask her if she would be interested in making some music with me. I only asked her because I'd heard that she was once a fan of my old band Tongue, or my current band as well. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I maybe wouldn't have been so bold as to ask her if she wanted to make some music. But yeah, so she said yes, which is great. And literally 2 days later, she was in the studio, which I was a bit shocked by because I wasn't really totally prepared. But that was 2 years ago because she played that show, I think, yeah, maybe May 2016, something like that.
That's crazy, though. Yeah, I mean, 2 days later, and she says, let's do this. Do you work from scratch, or did you just start grabbing what you'd already had lying around?
Yeah, well, kind of. I mean, I kind of did have something lying around that was going to be for a film that never worked out. And I guess because the timing was right for her, I mean, I think I was just quite lucky as well that she just finished this big tour and Semper Femina record was done, but she hadn't started touring that yet. So she had some time. So I didn't realize this at the time. So I didn't know she'd be in so quickly, but yes, I had this one idea, which was kind of set a precedent for everything else. So it kind of had some rules around it, like everything had to be in the same key, which is kind of an E5, sort of B minor type key. And I'd recorded some flute for this film thing, which became Late to the Flight. And then I decided that every track should have this same kind of journey drone made out of the sampled flute. So it was very organic because, you know, Laura came in and heard this one track, which was Late to the Flight, which I sort of already had. And loved it, and pretty much just wrote those lyrics on the spot within about half an hour. And we'd had the vocal take done in about 2 hours, and then she went. So I didn't know there'd be any more than that, but she kept coming back, and we kept doing more, and here we are speaking.
Yeah, it's interesting, though. I've talked to Laura before about her process, and I don't know if she still does it, but especially in those first few records, she would do something similar, where she would choose a chord, and sort of structure an entire record around that. Did you guys talk about that? Were you able to kind of find middle ground because of that?
I didn't know that information until you just told me it.
Yeah.
So that's pretty interesting. Yeah. No, we didn't talk at all. we kind of didn't have much conversation. That's what was so good about it, actually. You know, we just kind of got, as soon as she came to the studio, which was at the time in a sort of dark basement with these red lights hidden under seats that felt like you're inside a kind of womb. We just kind of started getting straight into it with the music, and we didn't really talk much about what we were doing. And I didn't question the lyrics. I just sort of directed a bit of melody possibilities and just let Laura Laura do what she does, you know, which was amazing. But I didn't know about that chord thing, and maybe that's why she was so natural at writing for it, because that is what happened. Yeah.
And when it doesn't sound like that's the case with this one, but when handing over music like that to a collaborator, a vocalist who's, you know, going to put the big stamp on the top of it, is there some sense of what you at least hope to get back? Do you ever have that? Or if it's just like, I like you, I respect you, here's my music, let's make this something.
Yeah, definitely the latter. I've always respected her and appreciate the awesomeness of her voice. It's so sort of heritage. And her writing more than anything, actually, the way she writes and the phrasing that goes alongside that. So I didn't have any idea what she was going to do, but I definitely didn't know that she was going to use all these sort of different voices. And I kind of helped her bring those out a little bit, because as soon as she started using these kind of more really up close and sort of straight in the ear kind of spoken word singing almost, and in like Late to the Flight, and then in Curse of the Contemporary, she's, you know, we kind of tried to see if we could, how far we could take her. And it's almost this kind of South Korean sort of melody, you know. And
oh, yeah.
I never heard her sing like that before, so that was refreshing, and that came out of just playing, you know.
Yeah, no, that was, of course, being the first single, that was our first listen on it as well, and that's the first thing. It's like, wow, this is really different from her, and this sort of odd falsetto and being bored in California, you know, whatever. Yeah, it's such a cool song. And I'd read, you know, musically, you're also sort of thematically had made the album cyclical. I mean, you can just stay on repeat in a way. Is that right?
Yeah, that's sort of the idea. I mean, I think because everything is related to each other, and I prefer it to be listened to as one whole or one lump of music.
Well done.
I think it lends itself to that. And strangely, when you take the tracks out individually, they sound totally different to me, and you know, than when they're listened to as one journey. And yeah, I guess the last note of Shake Your Shelter, even though it goes into the credit, but that still follows on. It does have 15 seconds of silence, but if it didn't have that, it would come round again. And and I like records like that. I like that it's short and you want to hear what's just happened, because especially with this, it takes you in so many different directions. You kind of need to double back and ask yourself what you just witnessed, kind of thing. I feel like anyway with it.
So I want to go back to that, you know, how you were writing it in one key and the rules that you put on this, especially, you know, as you're talking about all the tracks kind of working together. I don't know. I guess what I'm wondering is, does that keep you from going too far outside? Like, did that paint the picture for you immediately as to, you know, how you would paint this picture?
Well, it's not just the key. There's a few instruments that are kind of always there. So there's the flute, and then there's the Moog. I mean, it takes a few different sort of guises, but there's the sort of 60s stand-up modular Moog, which is doing those rhythms and the throbs in May I Be the Light and Handhold Hero. It's also doing the drones and the swamps in the other tracks. And I thought I wanted to keep that. And I think because I'd sort of set a key, then I knew that each track would kind of work with each other. But actually, each track, I think, is kind of wildly different from the previous track. So it didn't limit that. When I say they're in the same key, they're sort of loosely around this E5, E and B notes. So you can sort of drift around the keys as well, but you can still use those same notes, and it's quite nice to work out which chords you can play with within that key, because you can go either major or minor. Or I didn't find it limiting. I actually found it liberating.
I started thinking about this is going to be one of those odd transitions here. I started thinking about how comfortable I am in a very small room versus a very big room. You know, it kind of one of those style of things. You know, put me in something, you know, the security blanket, I guess. I don't know if I'm anywhere near what we're talking about here, but that's the sense I get anyway.
You're cozily near, yeah. No, it's good, and especially when it's a collaboration. I mean, that's already quite a daunting process to work with someone that, you know, you hold in high regard, but also, you know, you've never really come across their working patterns or behavior before. So if there's a few simple, yeah, blankets, if you like, in place, then yeah, it's it seems to hold together.
Yeah. Now, live, are you going to be doing the album like straight through front to back as it's recorded?
Yeah, we're doing it like that. But there's actually four pieces. So there's a drummer and Simon, who was our mutual friend, as a guitarist stroke bassist. Him and Laura swap between a 12 string and a Hofner bass. But it's vastly extended, so it's kind of becomes like an hour sort of journey, and gets quite shoegazy. Actually, it's a lot more powerful, I think.
That would have been the obvious question. It's, you know, it's a record that's barely over a half an hour. You know, how do you put that into a full live setting? You know.
Yeah, I know. But it sort of, there's, because of this, the fact that there's the drone and there's these similar moments between each tracks, then the bits in between the tracks almost become new tracks, like in the live show. I think each show will evolve as well. It's not a 3-hour epic. It's definitely an hour show, you know.
you're not like splashing covers in the middle like some bands would do in this case, where it's like, oh no, we need to
we, we talked about it. We talked about doing that. But actually, we like the whole point of the record is that it's, you know, it is what it is, and it keeps you in that meditative kind of state. So it felt wrong to try and do anything else. So that's what we're doing.
On your other life with Tongue, I noticed there was a new track that popped up online. Is that right? A-bop, maybe? Is that what it's called?
It is called A-bop. Yeah. Which stands for A Bloom of Phosphorescence.
And you're going to be, I read the original lineup for the first time in a long time is are together on this record, right?
That's right, yeah. It's first time in 10 years with Sam back in the band. Me and Sam started the band together 2004, I guess. We got him back, yeah. So, we've got a new record coming out in the end of August. So it'll be, yeah. It's the first time I've had two records out sort of at a similar time. It's quite confusing, but I like the challenge.
Yeah, no, I feel like we need to, you know, do a completely different interview to give the attention on that, and I'd like to in the future, but while we're here, I mean, I just heard this song for the first time this morning, like right before the interview. I thought, oh wow, I should probably hear that going into this, but I'd love to hear more about this project if you've got the sales pitch all set and ready.
I mean, Tongue changed my life, you know. Yeah. It's Tongue's a kind of it's a band that's traditionally kind of melded electronica with a more kind of pagan folk sort of Bert Jansk and Pentangle type music together back in the early 2000s, and it's sort of always evolved. We've done, this is like the sixth record, but it's I don't know what it is anymore, experimental prog pop wonk or something. But it's fun, and actually Sam Genders is the only other person I know other than Laura that can sit and listen to a texture or a palette of sounds and a minimal arrangement and let the music flow through him and come out with a poem and from straight to pen to paper just by listening. Only him, and I thought everyone could do that was songwriters until he left the band and I realised that we can't all do that, and I've produced other people that have their own methods, but it's never quite so immediate. And then I met Laura, who is one of those. You know, it's pretty special to meet these people.
Yeah, well, I'm becoming such a fan of your work so quickly here, and it must be such a interesting, you know, fun way to do this, having two things going on at the same time. It actually just sounds like a very busy summer and fall for you.
Yeah, I just bought a house as well for the first time, so just before I came up here to speak to you, I'm just priming my walls, ready for the drawing room blue paint that I'm going to make in the home studio. It's all happening. You know, I think it was just strange timing because I didn't know when Lump was going to appear and become what it's become. I didn't know it's going to become anything, actually. So it just happened to be ready to be let out into the world now. Coincidentally, at the same time as the Tongue record was sort of almost ready to do that also. So that's how it goes.
Yeah.
Buses.
Well, Mike, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Good luck on the house, on making sure that everything gets going as promoted as it's supposed to be promoted, I guess.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah.
I appreciate it. And we'll catch up again, hopefully, once the Tongue record's ready to be released.
Yeah, give me a shout. I'll tell you more. Yeah.
All right, man. All right. Take care.
Thank you. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks to Mike Lindsay from the band Lump for giving me a call today. The new self-titled debut record is currently available. Don't forget, you can subscribe to Consequence of Sound's YouTube channel to keep up with your favorite artists and interviews. Or if you're checking out the podcast version of this, please do consider leaving a rating or review, iTunes, Podchaser, wherever you're getting this from. And then head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show every Monday through Thursday from noon to 3 Eastern. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.